From Concordia Lutheran Church in Cerritos, California, this is the sermon for Christ the King Sunday, November 23rd. The title of it is Backseat Conversations on the Way to Heaven, number 11. We're here, and it's time for the feast. My brothers and sisters, as you look into eternity, may the grace, the mercy, and peace of God our Father and our Shepherd Jesus Christ bring you comfort, and may it build your desire for his return. 11 weeks ago, we started on this sermon series, a look at our journey through our life together towards heaven. Today, on the day we celebrate the coronation of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we come to the end of the sermon series. We celebrate looking forward to that day when our journey with him ends, when we've arrived home in the presence of God our Father and celebrate a feast more incredible than any we've ever experienced. So here's the one last lesson about our journey. There is one person in every family who stands at the door. He's waiting for everyone else to get ready. He's worried about the traffic or being on time. The rest of us are possibly frustrating him. They don't want to be late for the plane, or for dinner, or for the church service. Maybe most especially for the dinner. I mean, how many of us want to be late for Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner? My dad was one of those who waited by the door, or more likely out in the car. My sister would be hogging the bathroom, saying she needed to get ready. My brother would be watching television. I'd have my head in a book somewhere. My mom would be trying to herd us together and all out to the car. She had an impossible job. Years later, I find out that my dad had a strategy. When he told us the time we needed to leave on a car trip, he would always give himself an extra 20 minutes so that when he knew we needed to be in the car, we would be and would arrive on time a few minutes before the feast would begin. He would make sure we got there on time. Not because he drove fast, but because he put in place a plan to make sure it happened. God has such a plan. As we look towards the end of this age, we can be confident. We can see that the plan God has revealed is there, will be there. We will arrive before the throne of God on time, and the feast will begin. He has promised this, and he is the faithful shepherd. It is his journey, his ministry, his love revealed towards us. We read in Ezekiel 34, our Old Testament text for this morning, that God commits to going out and finding every one of his scattered children. They're described as being all lost in the dark, in a fog. They've been scattered. They aren't where they should be, all together. They're not in the presence of the one who loves them. His commitment is to find them, to bring them home, to help them at any cost, even if they are so confused and stressed that they don't recognize at first that he is God, that he is their shepherd, that he loves us that much. Scattered, lost in the dark, their minds fogged and confused, the people God loves need help badly. They need rest. They need to be fed. But they have to be rounded up before they can come home. In verse 16, the promise is made again, specifically noting that they have strayed away. The word in Hebrew there is the same for being seduced, being tempted. And the world does that to us all so well, and we go for it. If we think about how materialistic our society has become, we see one of the ways that Satan has tempted us, the way he seduces us. We learn to covet power and authority. We're tempted to believe that if we have it our way, it will come out all right. We make idols of our minds, of our hearts, idols that demand we sacrifice everything to satisfy our own desires. It's our own hearts that drive us away from God as we choose sin instead. In verse 20, there's another reason revealed beyond that, why sheep have to be rescued and restored. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands. I've met many people over the years that describe churches in words like these. They feel driven away because maybe it took too long to find a way to meet their need. Others feel that way because the church has crushed them. They've been driven from the church. Sometimes because those entrusted to share God's grace do not, but instead condemn those looking for forgiveness, looking for hope. This is a challenge because too often we look at the incident rather than acknowledge the feelings we see develop from the situation. Whether the situations are as the people perceive it or not, the feelings are valid. They feel driven off. They feel broken. They even feel abused by other sheep. Rarely is one side of the story accurate. But the feelings are what drive the people away, not the incident. Or they cause resentment to build up until the pain is too much to bear and the flock is scattered again. Sometimes this is done intentionally. More often than not, we drive people away because we, the fat sheep, are so hungry ourselves. We're so in need of God's love that we forget that there's room for everyone. It's as if we don't believe God can care for all of us, and so like triplets, we fight for our Father's attention, and we're not happy unless we get it first. When we sin against someone this way, when they sin against us, those sins are brutal. And they do drive people away from the church, where God puts his name so they can know his love. When we realize we've done this, we need to ask forgiveness. If it's done to us, we need to offer it. We all need to seek reconciliation. I've mentioned this before. When Jesus died to pay for sin, he just didn't pay for those that we've committed. Yes, he's rescued us. He's delivered us from sins caused by our desires, but he also rescues his people from the sins committed against them. The time where one sheep drives another away, intentionally or not. God goes after each of us, rescuing us from the darkness, rescuing us from that which clouds our lives, rescuing us from sin and every type of unrighteousness. Over and over in Scripture is that promise. Hear it personalized for you instead of for the sheep. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find you. I will be like a shepherd looking for you. I will find you and rescue you from all the places you were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will feed you on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where you live. Yes, I will give you good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There you will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend you and give you a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for you, my lost one, who strayed away. And I will bring you safely home. I will bandage you when you're injured. And I will strengthen you when you're weak. In that last section, this beautiful section, this beautiful promise. And I will set over you one shepherd, my servant, David. That's Jesus. He will feed you and be a shepherd to you. And I, the Lord, will be your God, and my servant David will be your prince among you, my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what God does. He rescues us. He makes us his children through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The very death and resurrection we're bound to in baptism, like Emily was this morning. He quickens us and brings us to life and faith and repentance. And he journeys with us until we are home. It is that journey we've heard about throughout this entire series. As we've been asked to get along back there, to hand me all your trash, the stuff we've been hoarding in our lives that's worthless. As we've asked, are we there yet? Or when we cry, this isn't fair. It's a journey that ends. But we realize it was beautiful because we found that we were making it with Jesus. That we've depended all the time on the Holy Spirit. As we've had to trust Jesus to get us home into the presence of the Father, into His glory He will share with us. And so now, knowing that this trip is complete, that God has made it a promise to us, and swore we would complete it, now it's time for a feast. A feast that will be complete at the marriage feast of the Lamb, when every prophecy comes true, and when we hear the words from the gospel this morning, come, for you are blessed by my Father. It's time to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And until that day, you live on a journey towards heaven in peace. For in Christ Jesus, there is safety and security. And the trip will be done. Amen.